message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
Let's go to John, Gospel of John, chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 35 through 42. John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" Translation, "What do you want?" They said to him, "Rabbi," meaning teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him all that day. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Andrew went and found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah." And he brought him to Jesus. Isn't that a good thing to do? The brother brought his brother to Jesus. And when Jesus looked at him, at Simon, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas." And some translations will say, "Peter." You shall be called Peter. The first words that Jesus ever spoke to Peter. Now remember, Peter became one of the 12 and kind of the leader of the pack, right? Well, the very first words that Jesus ever spoke to Peter are right there in verse 42. "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas." Bow with me. Father, we are grateful for your word, for the truth. We are grateful for your spirit, also the truth, the one who guides us into all truth. Guide us a little bit more this morning. Speak to us a little bit more this morning. Give us a little bit more revelation. Help us some more, God, that we might glorify you and live this life well, that we would live it with intention and purpose and be a blessing to those around us, and that we would benefit from it because of your favor on our lives. I ask for your help and your anointing in Jesus' name. Amen. You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas. I want to title the message, "You Shall Be." We're in the beginning of a year, second Sunday, and I want to ask you how you're doing on your resolutions for those that are doing them. If you broke it, go ahead and start it again. You don't have to wait till next year. But sometimes whenever we set goals, no matter when we set them, whenever we have these ideas and these things that we want to accomplish, sometimes in order to meet that goal, we're going to have to change our thinking. We might have to change our attitude. We might have to change the way we see things. We might have to change even the way we see ourselves. So a question for you, how do you see yourself? Don't answer out loud, but how do you see yourself? I know different days, different things, but overall, what do you think about you? How do you see yourself? How do others see you? What do others say about you? And that matters. You know, it's like, oh, we don't care what other people think. Well, we kind of do. The Bible says have a good reputation to those without. In other words, your reputation in the community ought to be positive. So I care about what they think of you. I care about what they think. I'm not talking about they're going to govern my decisions. But what do you think about you? What do others think about you? And more importantly, what does God think about you? How does God see you? See, the you that you focus on plays a big part in how you live life. For example, maybe you had an overbearing father growing up. No matter what you did, wasn't good enough. You just always fell short. You never measured up. Well, if you see the you that your father saw and focused on, if you focus on that you, you're going to go through life probably accomplishing a lot of things. There's a positive side to that. But you're never going to be satisfied because it's never going to be enough for you. Likewise, if maybe you had a doting mother, doting meaning extreme fondness to a fault, if you focus on the you that she sees, you're probably going to think of yourself a little better than you are. You're going to see yourself as never being able to do any wrong. And what about your peers and your associates? Not just one friend, but the group. What do your peers see and think about you? If you focus on the you that your peers see, you're going to be in bondage to what they think. It's one thing to be mindful of what others think, but it's another thing to be in bondage to what others think. You'll look before you act to see what effect your action will have. You won't act, you'll react. You'll become an echo and not a voice. You'll just say what needs to be said in order to have the approval. Or what about how you see yourself? If you focus on that you, the way you see you, I guess it all depends. Maybe on your confidence level. But most of us probably, if we focus on that you, I know me, I'm probably going to have a lot of discouragement. You know why? Because I know me pretty good. Others on the outside may think I'm wonderful, and I'm not horrible. But when I look in the mirror, I know things about me you don't know. Probably most of us have some skeleton in the closet, some weakness, some moment, something that would bring embarrassment and shame and humiliation if it was public and if it was known. See, we see all that. So which you do you function from? See, everything depends on the you that you focus on. I've said it many times in other messages. What you focus on gets bigger, like a magnifying glass. When you focus on something, it magnifies, it gets bigger. So if I focus on the negative, that gets bigger. That's why it's good to think about positive things. That's why Paul said in Philippians, think on the things that are lovely and of good report, if it's praiseworthy. Think on these things. Focus on the good things, let that get bigger, rather than focusing on the negative thing and letting that get bigger. You know, some people can have 95% good, 5% bad, but when you focus on just the bad, all of a sudden the bad is all you see. What you focus on gets bigger. So the best you to focus on is the you that God sees. So that's what I want to talk about. I've got a question for you. Give it your best answer internally. What does Jesus see when he looks at you? What does Jesus see when he looks at me? I'm going to give you three things this morning in a verse with each one. Number one, when Jesus looks at you, he sees not one person, but two. That's right. God has a little bit of double vision. You might say he's looking through bifocals. Remember our passage. You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas. Jesus saw Simon as he was. How was Simon? Well, when you read the Bible, when you get a good picture of him, the real Simon was a little bit of a rough cut guy. He's an outdoorsman. He's not the kindest person. He's not the softest, gentle person. He's a fisherman. Nothing wrong with that. But he's a cursing fisherman. He's a swearing fisherman. He's a mean fisherman. He's impulsive in nature. He's got a hot temper. He's the brother of Andrew. He's the weak, unstable, undependable brother of Andrew. When Jesus said, "You're Simon, the son of Jonah," Jesus saw all of that. Jesus knows all of that about Simon, and Jesus knows every negative thing about you. Don't you feel good? You wonder, I wonder if God saw that. Absolutely, God saw that. He sees everything. He knows everything. He knows every negative thing about you. But not only did Jesus see Simon as he was, Jesus saw Simon as he could be. I told you, he has double vision. Jesus sees Simon as he is, and Jesus sees Simon as he can be. Jesus saw the man that God's grace could make out of Simon. And the two men, what Simon was and what Simon could be, were so different that they each needed their own name. You are Simon, but you shall be Cephas. Same person, I'm giving you a new name. You're going to take on a new name. See, the name Cephas, or Peter, same thing, means rock. You're Simon. You're weak. You're independable. You're rash. You're brutal. But I'm going to make you like a rock. I'm going to make you rocky. I'm going to make you strong. I see you how you are, but you shall be another way, and I see already that person that you shall be. So, looking at the man as he was, Jesus said, "You are Simon," but looking at him as he became, he said, "You shall be a rock." Every time Jesus looks at a person, he sees not one person, but two. He looked at Simon, but he also saw Peter. He looked at Saul of Tarsus, but also saw Paul the Apostle. He looked at Jacob the liar and the cheat, but also saw Israel, which means prince with God. Jacob was a liar and a cheat, and was renamed Israel, prince with God. Y'all do know that the 12 tribes of Israel are also the 12 sons of Jacob. Israel. Israel is formerly a liar, a cheat, and a fraud. How many of those we got in here? Don't raise your hand. Just see, Jesus sees your inherent worth. He sees you as you are, but more than that, he sees what you can become. Some of you are familiar with the movie called My Fair Lady. Before it was a movie, it was a play, and it was a play by the name of Pygmalion. It's the story of an English gentleman by the name of Mr. Higgins. He spots a beautiful but badly soiled tramp on the street. Her name is Liza Doolittle. Liza Doolittle is this tramp on the outside, but Mr. Higgins sees her, and he sees in her a lady who would do honor to a king's court. So as the story develops, Mr. Higgins takes Liza Doolittle and puts her into a strenuous program of tutoring and training, and it's all designed to pull out of her, to make of her what Mr. Higgins has envisioned her to be already. She finally emerges as a first-class lady, all because Mr. Higgins, looking through what she was and seeing what she could become, and did something to make it happen. Listen, God is Mr. Higgins. You and I are the street tramps. God saw potential in us. God saw something more than what we were. God puts us through his tutoring and training course called life in order that we might emerge not as Simon, but as Cephas, as the rock. See, you can move, even if you're a good person, you can move from great or from good to great by letting God just work in you. Amen? And that's what we're all trying to do. God's trying to bring something out of us. Now, I told you I'm going to give you a verse for each one of these. Romans 4, verse 17 is the verse for this point. It says, God calls those things which be not as though they were. Now, I know a lot of Christians, I've done it myself. In our prayer time, we'll call things that be not as though they are. I'm just going to tell you, I don't know that that's a gross error, but really it's God who does the calling of things that be not as though they are. God pulls things into existence. God in the beginning stepped out into nothing and said, let there be, and then light was. God created everything out of nothing. So God calls those things which be not as though they were. Another translation says it this way. God calls into existence the things that do not yet exist. Think about that. God calls into existence things that don't exist. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth out of things. There was nothing that existed, and God created something out of nothing. God calls into being things that aren't there. What's not in your life right now? Joy? Peace? Go through the fruit of the Spirit. Kindness, gentleness, faith. God can pull those things that aren't in you out. Well, it's not in there to pull out. Yes, but God calls something out of nothing. God brings into existence things that aren't there. Another translation says it this way. He speaks of future events with as much certainty as though they were already. God sees the beginning from the end. And here you are back near the beginning, and God sees the end, and God speaks to you from this perspective over here. And that's why it's hard for you to handle it, because you're looking at you from this perspective right here. Some of you, maybe your marriage is missing some things. Maybe there's no happiness. Maybe there's no trust. Maybe there's no joy in your marriage. God can pull things out of nothing. Things that don't exist, God can cause to exist. Church, we serve a God who is able to do above and beyond anything you could ever think or imagine. So whatever it is that you don't have, if God wants you to have it, you can believe for it. Amen? God doesn't look at your failing past so much as he looks at your future potential. God sees you weak, uncertain, unfaithful, ashamed, guilty, prayerless. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but the list could go on. But I can, you know what? I qualify for every one of those. I have seen myself as weak, uncertain, unfaithful, ashamed, guilty, prayerless. And the list goes on. God sees that too. Whenever you mess up, God sees that. And then the devil says, hey, God saw you. You're no good. And the devil will beat you over the head with that all week long. God does see all of that. The devil's right that God saw it. But God also sees this. God sees you as triumphant. God sees you as victorious. God sees you as powerful. God sees you as strong because God sees you up the road. God is the Mr. Higgins changing you. I told you last week, there's a good work going on inside of you, and it's going on right now. And we tend to stare in the mirror and get frustrated and discouraged with where we are. God sees where you are, but God sees where you're headed. Prophet Kim Clement, he's passed on now. I went to one of his meetings and seen him on TV a few times, but he was known for this phrase that he had. He didn't just say it. He would sing it or chant it as his bass player hopped all over the stage, if you've ever been to one of his meetings. But he had this phrase, and it went like this: somewhere in the future, you're looking much better than you look right now. And I want you to know that if you're frustrated with where you are in your relationship with the Lord Jesus, I want you to know that God sees you somewhere in the future. And somewhere in the future, you're looking better than you look right now. So look at your right now. That's fine. Yeah, that's me right now. But now I'm going to look and see the you that God sees. I'm going to see the me that God sees. And I'm going to see myself as potential. I'm going to see myself in the future up the road. There is a more Christ-like you up the road. There is a more faithful you up the road. Michelangelo, the great Italian sculptor, he was told that one day he had seen a rough and misshapen block of marble. It had been cast aside as worthless and useless. He took a hammer and chisel and began to make chips of marble fly in all directions. A friend walks by and says, "What are you doing?" And he simply said this: "I see an angel imprisoned in this block of stone, and I'm just working to let him out." There's goodness imprisoned inside of you. Yes, I know there's stuff. We can always see the stuff. But there's some things inside of you. There's a good work going on inside of you. And if you will cooperate with the Spirit of God in you, that stuff will come out. Don't get frustrated and don't give up on yourself. See you as you are, yes, but like God, see you as you shall be. Title of the message, You Shall Be. God's hammer and chisel doesn't always feel good, but he's using them to pull some things into existence. And can I just say this for those of you at home with mom and dad? You may get frustrated with mom and dad at times, and moms and dads are not perfect. But I'm going to tell you, for your younger years, the hammer and chisel that God uses to make you more like Jesus is primarily your mom and dad. I don't know which one's a hammer and which one's a chisel, but I'm telling you, your God is using your parents to make you more like Jesus. Even when they're wrong, even when they miss it. Just a little side note on the parenting side. For you moms and dads who have made mistakes, you're going to like this. Your kids aren't. There's a verse in Ephesians that says, obey your parents. I know you know that part. Obey your parents, for they are right. See, it doesn't say that. It says, obey your parents, for this is right, even when they're wrong. Obey your parents. It's right to obey your parents even when they're wrong. Now, when I say they're wrong, I'm not talking about something ungodly and something against the law. Go burn that building down. Okay, Dad said. No. I'm telling you, your parents will blow it. No, you can't go to church youth group. Well, I think I should be able to go. Well, your parents said you can't. You know what I would do if you called me as pastor of the church and said, hey, I want to come to youth group, and I know that's a godly thing to do and a spiritual thing to do. My mom and dad said, I can't go. What do you think? Would you talk to them? I would say, no, I'll talk to you. Obey your mom and dad. All right, that was a side note. I'll come back. God uses people, circumstance, situation, and et cetera to bring forth the fair lady from out of the tramp. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Remember, Romans 4:17, God pulls into existence things that aren't there. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen, things not there. Aren't there some things that you're hoping for? Last week, we concluded the service with what is it that you're longing for? What is it that you want this year? Is it in line with God's word? Is it in line with God himself? Do you have permission for that? And if you do, then let's pray that God give you that thing that you're hoping for, that thing that you're longing for. Are there still some things yet to be seen in your life? Well, I'm here and I still don't see this, and this ain't happening. Well, faith is the evidence of things not seen. Have faith for that and believe for that and let God bring out of nothing that something that he's willed for you. Amen? So number one, when Jesus looks at you, he sees not one person but two. Number two, when Jesus looks at you, he sees you with great potential. When you go back and read that passage that I read at the beginning and you read it in King James, when it says that Jesus looked at Simon, in King James it says this, Jesus beheld Simon. Beheld. That word beheld, you can look it up in the original language, it means to discern clearly. In other words, when Jesus beheld him, Jesus looked into him. You ever had anybody do that? Maybe your mom had that gift. She could just look at you and you just realize she's seeing everything. Jesus saw everything. When he looked at Simon, he beheld him. He knew exactly the kind of man that Peter was. When he said to him, "You are Simon," basically he was saying, "I know who you are. I know everything there is to know about you." How many of you got some things that you're glad somebody doesn't know about you? I'm going to tell you, God knows all that. I know everything about you, Simon. I know the character associated with your name. I know what people say about you and more. I know your reputation on the lake. I know your weaknesses. You are Simon. Imagine Simon had a reputation. He's loud. Hey, you hear what Simon did? And there's an association with the name. All of a sudden, we think things because we associate the name Simon with certain things. Jesus is saying, I know everything associated with your name. I see it all. But after he said, I see your reputation, I see your weaknesses, I see your failures, he tacks on this, you shall be Cephas. All that Jesus saw did not keep him from believing in Simon. Some of you, if some people knew maybe some of your deepest, darkest secrets, they might quit believing in you, and that's why we had certain things. And certain things should be hid, right? Not everything should be public. God sees all your junk. He beholds you. He sees it all, but he also sees the potential. God looks at you with divine optimism. God never met a hopeless case. He was a friend of sinners. When Jesus faced Zacchaeus, the wicked tax collector according to the Bible, what did Jesus tell Zacchaeus? What would you tell a wicked tax collector? Don't tell me. Jesus told him this, you are also a son of Abraham. Yeah, I see the bad side of you, but you're also a son of Abraham. When Jesus found Mary Magdalene, prostitute, in her shame, he gave her a you shall be of forgiveness and purity. When he found Saul, a blasphemer, a persecutor of the church, he gave him a you shall be of grace and apostleship. Look at other people. See, there's a lesson here. I'm trying to tell you to see yourself the way that God sees you. But there's another lesson here, and that is we need to be like God, and we need to start seeing people the way God sees people. We need to see other people with a you shall be in mind. Listen, we just got a new little dog. And right now, he is Simon. I get up early on Sunday mornings already, but usually not 3:30. He gnaws on things. He chews on things. He whines if he's not getting his way. But he shall be. I'm sorry. She shall be. I can't tell you how many times I've done that. It's going to get better. If all I could see was that, I'd be like, you're done. But no, I know that's going to get better. Why can't we look at people with that kind of an attitude? Wow, you really make me angry. Now, that's insight talk, right? But you shall be. Especially somebody that's come to the church and they're brand new in Jesus and they're not acting the way that a seasoned disciple acts. They're acting the way babies in Jesus act. And seasoned, mature saints get frustrated with the babies. Come on. How about some grace? How about some mercy? How about, wow, you don't know nothing. But you shall be. When I walked in here, I didn't know anything. I walked in. I won't tell you what I was doing the day before I came to your church. I came on a Tuesday. I'll tell you what I was doing on Monday. I won't tell you what I was doing on Monday. I wasn't doing good things on Monday. I wasn't saying good things on Monday. I didn't have great language on Monday. And I walked in on Tuesday, and I gave my heart to Jesus. And on Wednesday, I still didn't have great language. I still had some issues going on. Still had some problems. But who knew? Hammonds, you are this and this, and you don't know anything about the Bible, but you shall be a pastor. That's just a lot of shall be. I don't know if I could have had the faith for that. I didn't know anything. I'd never heard of Trinity. I'd never heard of rapture, tithing. I didn't know anything. Well, you're just stupid? No. I graduated 8th in my class. I just didn't know Bible. I didn't go to church. I didn't grow up in this. Jonathan walked in here. He's worse than me. And I know that because we swap stories and he wins. He was a worse sinner than me. And he walked in here one day not knowing anything, foul mouth, vile, horrible, flesh-driven, sinner. What other descriptions do you want me to throw out there, Jonathan? All of that and more. And God saved him right back there. You shall be a minister of the gospel. I know what others see. I see that too. What they don't see, though, let me tell you what I see. Latch on to some stuff that God sees, and let's train ourselves to know by faith that that's not their end, that's their beginning, and they shall be. If you only see the street tramp, you'll never meet the fair lady. See, there is a you shall be locked up in every person. God sees it, and God is committed to it. Parents, you need to see you shall be in your kids. And you need to parent them and not just wait for the season to get over. Man, I'll be glad when they get out of the terrible twos. I'll be glad when they get out of the horrible fours. Can't wait till they're quit being six. Man, I can't wait till they're out of these teen years. They're out of the house now, thank God. What did you do? Just wait for them to get old and get out? How about chisel them and hammer them and let God use you and pull out the you shall be in them? Pull out the you shall be's that are locked up inside of them. Leaders, same thing, those in your class. We can't give up on people. Now, that doesn't mean there's no rules. That doesn't mean there's no boundaries. It doesn't mean there's not a place to say, you know what, you can't come back next week until this and this. I understand that, but we can't just give up on people. The disciple Peter was all of those horrible things, and he became the apostle Peter. John Maxwell said this at a leadership conference a long time ago. He's challenging pastors and leaders. He said, listen, whenever somebody walks in the church in your church, or when you got leaders, he said, see them with a post-it sticker on their head that has a 10. Just see them as a 10. They may be acting like a 3, but see them as a 10. They're acting like a 4. They're behaving like a 4, but see them as a 10. Because God sees them as a 10. God sees the 4, but he also sees the 10. We get stuck on the 4 and get frustrated. You know, you're going to see the 4. You can't help but see the 4. You can't help but see the kid who kicked the hole in the sheetrock. It's okay, you're a 10, pastor don't care, kick another hole. No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying that's not the end. There's a fair lady locked inside of the tramp, and that's got to come out. So see other people with a you shall be. The verse for this one, John chapter 1, verse 12. As many received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. This is really one of my favorite verses. See, not everybody is a son of God. Not everybody is a daughter of God. Not everybody is a child of God. Everybody is a creation of God. Everybody is value and has great worth. But to those that receive him, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe on him, receive him. Whoever would receive him, to them he gives the power to become the son of God, the child of God. Consider this. As many as receive Jesus, to them he gives the power to become. And just stop right there. He gives you the power to become. He gives you the power to become something you're not right now. See, there's some things in you right now, they're not there. You aren't some things. You're not a great leader. You're not a great disciple. You're not that. You're never going to get perfect, but you're going to get better because you receive Jesus. You now have a good work inside of you that's going on, and you have the power to become. You have the power to become more than you are. See, there is potential in you, and God sees it. And you need to know that it's there. The first step is to receive him, let him give the power to become, and then begin to cooperate with the Spirit of God inside of you, and you will make progress. You're going to have some setbacks. You're going to have some down days. Just stay in there. Stay on the potter's wheel. Stay with him. He's committed to you. Early 1960s, a man brought his son to the junior high football field in a small town in Alabama. Now, his son was going to play football, but his son, not only was he young, he was quite heavy, he was short, he was slow, kind of works together. And the boy had timidity and just the inability to really be sociable with others. He had no confidence. Others laughed at him. Others made fun of him. But his father took the coach out to supper. And the father said this, I want you to see in my boy an All-American player. And then I want you to do everything possible to make out of him what you see. As strange as it may seem to you, I have already seen this possibility in my boy, and I will do my part at home to make it a reality. 5 years later, that boy was made a high school All-American. 4 years after that, he was college All-American at the University of Alabama. His name is Bill Battle, and some of you know that name. He would later become the University of Tennessee football coach. But he was just a short, dumpy, slow, misfit, laughed-at kid in junior high. But Dad saw something in him. And Dad told the coach, I need you to see. Let me just tell you, good coaches don't have to hear that from a dad. Good coaches already do that. Doesn't hurt to tell the coach in case he ain't that good a coach. Because there's a tendency to look at the talent and pull the talent. What about the talent that will be? See, Dad didn't let what he saw limit what he hoped for. What are you hoping for? What do you see? You can't let what you see limit what you hope for. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And faith is believing for things hoped for. Final point. When Jesus looks at you, he sees one person. Not one person, but two. He sees you with great potential. Point number three, when Jesus looks at you, he sees you with great purpose. When Jesus saw Peter, he saw all the stuff. But he also saw the rock. And don't you know, he also saw Peter as the disciple, as the apostle already. See, when Jesus saw Peter, he already had a plan for him. And I'm going to tell you, it goes true for you as well. There's a part for you to play. There's a plan for you as well. And I'm going to tell you God's plan for your life. Now, I can't give you the specific, but I'm going to give you at least two parts of God's plan for every one of us. At least two parts of God's plan for all of us. Number one is found in Romans 8:29. It tells us that God conforms us to the image of his son. Part of the plan of God for you is that he wants to make you more like Jesus. That's part of the plan. See, Simon goes from acting almost completely out of his Simon nature to shifting back and forth between Simon and Cephas. After years of following Jesus, he comes to a place where his behavior is mostly out of Cephas and seldom out of Simon. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. God already sees the end from the beginning. Here's the verse for this one, Ephesians 2:10. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us a long time ago. The second thing, part of God's plan for you, number one, he wants to make you like Jesus. But number two, God wants to use you to fulfill, get this, his plan. See, we focus too much on God gives me a plan. No, God's plan for you falls into his plan. It's ultimately about his plan. And we're called according to, the Bible says, his purpose. See, we like to talk about our plan, our purpose. No, it's his plan, his purpose, and you fall in. You have a part. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he's moved from Simon to Cephas. Jesus saw him on the lake. He saw the junk, but he also saw him preaching to thousands on the day of Pentecost. There is stuff in you that you can't see. There is a good work going on in you. And you, by faith, need to grab hold of that. You don't even know what it is, possibly. But journey with God by faith and let him bring things into existence. Give Jesus the you that you are, and in time, he will give you back the you that you ought to be. You know, we sing that old song. It's been a long time. Just as I am. If you're here today and you're just 99% Simon, maybe you're 100% Simon, no rock in you at all. Come as you are. You give Jesus the you who you are, and then you let him pull out of you the you that he's calling you to be. Peter eventually became one of two foremost leaders in the early church. There was Peter the apostle and Paul the apostle. Paul went to the Gentiles, Peter went to the Jews. Peter wrote two great books in the New Testament. Both are full of optimism, courage, faith, and hope. Peter did this. The cursing, swearing, undependable, rash fighter fisherman wrote 1st and 2nd Peter. Last week, we talked about the things that we long for, the things that we hope for. And at the end of the service, I ask you to think about maybe one or two things that you're longing for 2022. What are you longing for your life? What are you longing for? Maybe it involves your marriage. Maybe it involves your kids. Maybe you've got a whole list of things. But what are you longing for? And if it's within God's permission, then let's just pray that God give you that expected end, that he give you that thing that you long for. Remember, Jesus saw Simon, son of Jonah, but he also saw Cephas. You shall be Cephas. Put that back on the screen for me. Just that next slide, I think it is. Right there. That's what Jesus told him. Those are the first words of Jesus. Jesus has never met Simon, but he knows Simon. He meets him, and this is what he says. You're Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas. Jesus sees you as you are, and he sees your inherent worth. See, you are, but you shall be. There is the actual you, and there is the possible you. There is the what is, and there is the what will be. And too many times the devil talks us into quitting because of what is. And when we quit because of what is, we never get to what will be. So last week I had you think about something, about what you long for. This week I want to do it this way. We're going to fill in a blank. Actually, two blanks. The first blank is this. You are, if Jesus was talking to you instead of Simon, what would he say? You are, instead of a name, not just Simon, you are Jonathan, you are Mike, you are Paul, I get that. But what's associated with name? Your name? You are Mike, you are, and then fill in the blank, you are weak, you are not loyal, and just what would Jesus see in you? The first part. You are, and then fill in the blank. Now, be honest. Be honest. Your failures, your weaknesses, your flaws. But then the second part, you shall be. Now, the first blank's pretty easy to fill in for me. But the second blank, See, the first blank, we fill that in because we know. The second blank, you need to listen. You need to let God fill in the second blank. You need to listen to the Spirit of God and let Him talk to you about your future. Would you bow your heads with me? The Lord's going to sing a little bit here in just a moment. You can just listen. But as you're listening to her sing, I want you to listen for God's voice. Listen, really, really do it. Really listen for His voice. You are, but you shall be.
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may His peace be yours today.